Our speaker tonight is Tim Heath. Tim Heath and I walked on the campus of Grace Bible College together in 1908. Shut up, Charlie. 1968. Wow, that's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been.
And thankful for our years of friendship, but especially Tim's ministry to people's hearts. Young people, adults, this country, other countries, as he shares God's love and grace. And so we're pleased to have Tim with us. And Tim, I'd like to have a word of prayer with you and turn it over to you. Father, thank you for the blessing of being here tonight and celebrating your faithfulness, how great it is, how you have taken sinners who stray so far from you and by your grace and mercy bring us back to yourself.
Amen, Lord.
God, you are faithful and we praise you for that. Pray for Tim, Father, as he shares your word tonight. Open up our hearts, Father. May we be receptive to the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Good to see you here. I was 19 years old, and all of a sudden, there was this scream, "Help! Help! I'm drowning!" And I had been raised in a Christian home. I was the second time for 9 months in the Philippines, and we were on a river having a picnic with 100 students or so, and we were, eating the banana leaf paper plates that they do in the Philippines. Anyway, and I had been a lifeguard in the States trying to pay my way through the Grace Bible College, and so, I took off my shoes and I dove in the water because across the river this man, young student, was drowning, and as I swam, he went underwater. And that was the last we saw him for 20 minutes. And when his body finally came up, it was a very strong impact in my own life, the reality of how fast something can happen, how fast something can change. And you can't undo it. You can't redo it. You don't get a second chance. It's just over. And I think when we think about a life with focus, this life really goes by fast. I mean, you may not feel like it. You may feel like, man, if it doesn't get going, I'm going to die young. and you may, actually. But it is a fast-moving life. And if we don't have focus, the reality is that we're just going to be kind of all over the page and we're not sure where we're going. And so I deeply appreciate this idea of life with focus. And I'd like you to turn to Philippians, the book of Philippians. We're going to be in that the next few days. What is God's process in reaching the world, and how does he do it? And I want to have 4 points, and of course, for us older ones, we like specific points to think about. And so it's going to deal with partnership and persecution, and then purpose and position. I am so excited about the concept of partnership and what we do with the Lord. And I want to read verses 3 through 11. I might say that the church at Philippi, and you're going to have an opportunity to learn more about this church, but just for beginners, or to begin with, I think that to simply say the church had the potential of this makeup. There was a merchant Jewish woman, there was a slave girl, a jailer, and ex-convicts. That could be the makeup of this church at Philippi. Okay, this was the people that Paul ran into at that church when it began, and he has a love for these people. I just think I'm looking for a guy that will take a church out on the West Coast, and I have 3 things I'm looking for. He loves God, he loves God's word, and he loves people. So if you're interested, talk to me. You see, this idea, this concern that Paul has, he just oozes with love for these people. And I want to read these three, the verse, beginning in verse 3, I'm in the ESV, but I would like you, if you have your Bibles, to really follow along as best you can. In verse 3, Paul says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. You are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. This word partnership that's used in the ESV is the word fellowship, and that's probably in your Bible. But it has the idea of connecting with someone to do something neat, something great. We have a partnership when we do things within a church. Celebrating communion is a partnership where we come together and celebrate Christ's death and burial and resurrection. The partnership, the fellowship that we have been actually called into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, in 2 Corinthians 1. There's a fellowship of financially supporting the work of God. That is a partnership that we have with one another. And you see, the difficulty within any group, but within our grace movement, is sometimes we focus so much on we are independent. We're an independent grace church. And so we don't do anything with anybody else because we're an independent church. Well, your being here is a very clear sign that you feel there's value in partnership. There's value in coming together and sharing with one another and being encouraged and challenged. Seeing these youth, I am glad you're here. I'm excited that God is going to touch your hearts and move in your hearts, that you've got all this energy, all this excitement, and the potential of seeing God do something through your life. I'm excited for you. But you want, know what? Us old people are not dead yet. And we have potential also. And we have the opportunity to live it out for God, to do it with all our strength, regardless of how little it might be. But gee, that partnership is so vital. It's so powerful. But you see, we need to love people. And you saw when we read through those verses, Paul just says, I've got you in my heart. I love you. I just think about you. And every time I think about you, I'm just moved by you because I care about you. As I get to have the joy of traveling and sharing with different churches and the pastors and the youth, I'll tell you, I think of some of you, and I just am so blessed. I'm not that I think of people that I'm not blessed, but my memory. See, so the things that I do remember, I'm blessed by, okay? See, that value of really loving people, the value of allowing our hearts to be moved, and Paul was moved by this church at Philippi. He didn't know what was actually happening. He saw a real persecution right at the very beginning. And he just cared about these people, and he cared about what they would do and how they would work things through. You know, partnership takes effort. And I have to really, I'm going to share a story, and it really shows my flesh. And I don't, that's not a thing to be proud about. But in a church that I've been in recently, there was a man that just seemed cocky. And they probably rubbed me wrong because I can tend to do the same thing. I think I'm, you know, why wouldn't everyone love me kind of thing. But I just, you know, he did some things and I just thought, oh man, I don't know about this guy. And I had that thought, and it was for months, because I'd met him months ago when I got that initial thought, like, this is not a guy that you're going to do, you know, partner with, okay? So then I have an opportunity, my wife and I, to spend an entire day helping a church paint their sanctuary. And we're up on scaffolding, we're running those rollers as fast as we can, we're cleaning lights, vacuuming up on these little things that catch all the dust, doing all that stuff. And we were working all day long. And you know who was there to help work? This guy. You know what happened? As we worked together, I really like him. I saw much better his personality. See, he didn't do any changing. I did. Because I took the time to get to know him. How often do we prejudge people? Say, oh, I don't want anything to do with that guy. But work with them. Do something with them. Play football with them. I don't care what you do. But see, partnership, if we're really going to honestly do it and not just have this ethereal idea of let's love one another, okay? Mind me, but really do it. Really let God impact our life and do something with those people that maybe we can struggle with earlier. And maybe you still won't like them. That's okay, but listen, if we aren't doing something with them, if we don't desire to partner with them, if we don't desire to have fellowship with them, we'll never find out. It's like witnessing. I get so excited about just asking people, go to people, open the door, and what do you tell them? For you who I've done this in so many churches, I thought at least one church would remember, when you open the door, they say thank you, and you say, the Lord Jesus bless you. I am having so much fun with that because I'm meeting people, and some are Christian, some aren't Christian. But there is an interaction there that it's just like throwing the bait out, or, you know, a hook with the bait on it, and you just see if you get a nibble. It's just fun. I like fishing. I haven't done it, but I really do enjoy this fishing where I just open the door for someone, I take their cart, whatever I can figure out to do, I am praying, Lord, help me do something. I do something, they say thank you, and I say, the Lord Jesus bless you. You know, to be able to hold a waitress's hand who has the feeling like, you know, she was hurting or something like that, and you, in saying, you know, thanks, do great job, leave a tip, whatever, I held her hand, and I just held it, and I said, I heard what you were saying, can I just pray for you? Now, I'm not that way. I mean, I really have not been, but God has really put it in my heart. See, this desire that we partner with one another, what could happen? What could really happen if our churches decided that somehow, some way, we are going to do more with one another than just a one-year conference? What if we communicated with one another? What if we sent workers from this church down to a church, and I can't tell you where because I don't know if we've talked about it before, but what if you sent workers down there? Because I know you sent workers to Puerto Rico. Okay, what about south of you here, and you just put their new addition on? Wouldn't that be wild? Doing things for other churches just because we want to partner with them. See, what would that do within our fellowship? And Paul's burden is that these people would really partner with God. He says a lot there, and I'm not going to have time to do it. He gives them the bold challenge to really go forward. To make good decisions. We've heard a wonderful testimony, and I appreciate wherever she might be, but I appreciate her courage to share that. It comes real close to home for my wife and I. See, to make good decisions. Paul, see, he loves them. And he longs that they will make good decisions. Young people, your parents love you, and they long for you to make good decisions. Our Father loves us, and He longs for us to make good decisions. And though I'm jumping past verses, just kind of reflect on those 9 through 11, Paul is longing that they would make good decisions that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's why we're here. And so there's the partnership, but then there's persecution. And the partnership is like, it has the idea of us, okay, this partnership. But when he comes to persecution, it's like me and them, okay, me and them. Because Paul talks about getting in prison and what he does with that. And again, I'm going to just read these verses because I'm going to read the whole chapter. So verse 12, he says, I want you to know, brothers, sisters, everybody, that what happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. I've been meditating on this passage for a long time, and it just hit me this last couple days. Let me read that a little bit again. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, When something happens to you, what do you tend to do? Gripe, complain, gossip, get back, get even. Yeah, but, you know, I'm not mad at the people. I mean, I'm not bitter at the people, but I'm mad at how they did it. So what happened to you? Did God allow it? Could God use that to advance the gospel? You see, if we as believers really believe that verse, there's just no way that we can get through life without somebody saying something negative to us. Saying something that just makes us either mad or hurt. And the challenge is, okay, God, now, can I trust you and use this to advance the gospel? And so how did Paul do it? He says, okay, so this is going to advance the gospel, verse 13, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard, so now it's gotten into the military, and to all the rest, whoever they might be, that my imprisonment is for Christ. If you're hurt, let's say it's for Christ. I mean, we trust that it is. In other words, you've done something, you felt like this was totally from God, and people didn't understand it, they misunderstand you, they're criticizing you, and so what do? You say, thank you, God, I'm trusting you with this. Because I want to do what you want to do. I want to see what you're going to do, and I'm going to trust you with that. And so verse 14, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, you going through a tough time in your church could encourage someone else. It's really encouraging for younger pastors to have an older pastor share some struggles, or to at least encourage them to say, listen, this is part of it. That's part of ministry. I talked to one person about talking to her son and saying, I'm gently challenging him to go into the ministry. And she said, that's the last thing I'd ever want him to do. Okay. Because things had happened. And there's bitterness there. Say, so what? Yeah, it's going to be tough. I want men to stand up and be pastors. I need them. That's really stupid to say that. The GGF needs them. But I had the joy of being able, through things to commission, to be in churches for 1 or 2 months and just minister. And I would long to see some young men say, I'll do it. I'll take church. Oh, this is a tough church, but I'll take it. And I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love his word, and I'll love these people until I die. And do it. See, just do it. See, we need that. To understand that in the process of hurting and the pain and all of this, God has a purpose of what's going on. God has a purpose of what he is doing. And so he says, because I'm willing to do this and I'm still rejoicing, others, most of the guys out there, are saying, hey, if he can do it, maybe it's not so bad. Youth leaders, you have a powerful opportunity, and I know you're doing it. I am so impressed. I am so honored to know you youth pastors that I know, and I see you out there really pouring your life into these young people. You are you're like a hero to me, and I mean that. I mean it. Because you're have that awesome opportunity to pour their love into you young people so that as you make the right decisions and you see tough things in their life, you could say, I want to do that too. My son-in-law, Nathan, is in Thailand right now because his youth pastor had an impact in his life. So thank you for your ministry. Thank them for what they do for you, because you are blessed by having someone who cares about you that's not part of your family. That's always a good one. Family is supposed to care for you, but non-family members, they don't necessarily do it, but your youth pastor does. Your pastor does. Praise God for that. So the persecution is going to come. And Verse 15, Paul says, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. Verse 17, the former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely. Are you listening to that? They're not even sincere, and they're thinking to hurt Paul by how they do it. They think to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. I want to challenge us as grace believers. Sometimes we can have a theological arrogance that we have the truth and nobody else does. Now, I deeply appreciate the mid-Acts dispensational position that we have, but I rejoice, I praise God when I see a church, and if they are doing anything close to presenting the gospel, I am saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I can tell you, after being only 3.5 years living in a Muslim country, when you see a church with a cross on it, you just are drawn to rejoicing and praising God. They may not have it all together. They may not be doctrinally correct like we would assume it. But I can tell you, when you meet them, when you're with them, you need to praise God and rejoice with them, because they are, however their way they're doing it, if they're presenting Jesus Christ, we should rejoice. Can you say amen on that? So love people. Be gracious. Let's love them. I just think it's great. You say, you know, hi, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And he says, oh, well, then, you know, so he's a Christian too. And I says, well, the world's going bad. That's what he said. Yeah. And he says, well, I said, well, the rapture's coming soon. He said, well, maybe it isn't. I said, okay, I'm not going to argue it. I just praise the Lord. And when I left, I said, and I looked at my nun, I said, I just pray the Lord will bless you and encourage your job, your what do you call it? Your business. Love people. See what God does with it. Paul felt like he could rejoice even when they're off with what God had. So you have partnership and persecution. Then we come to the purpose. And that was mentioned by our dear brother that's going to work with you, young people. But it kind of begins in verse 19. Yes, and I will rejoice. Verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope, that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul knew where he was going. Romans 1 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God had prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. He had a vision. He had a focus. He was goal-oriented. And he says, for me to live, all it is Jesus Christ. For me to walk on this earth, it's Jesus Christ. For me to go through problems, it's Jesus Christ. For me to work with people that are maybe unloving, that don't want to hear it, it's Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that when I die, I'll be with Jesus Christ. See, that's his focus. See, and living a life of focus really moves us to where I know that you have different jobs, all these different jobs, but I can tell you, you come across people in your business, in your job, at the grocery store, wherever it is, and our desire is our life needs to live for Jesus Christ. And let's do it. Let's do it. Young, I'm just so challenging and encouraging young people. When you see people, when you see a cart, someone's getting their groceries out of it, go up and just offer, can I take that cart for you? And they'll say, whoa, thank you. And you're going to say, the Lord Jesus bless you. Do you realize how easy that is? But you see, it's where is our focus? The world has sold us a total bill of goods that the focus in life is to make money and to have a nice home and to do that. And I know for most of us that's not true. We haven't bought into that. That's why you're here. This church, I just so praise God for this church and your outreach. I get word when we were in Malaysia, even here, on things that you're doing, and my heart is just thrilled by what it's doing. You are reaching out beyond these walls, and you're touching people's life, and I say, praise God for that. You see, the focus is, okay, yeah, I've got this, I've got that, but my focus is, how do I use this to glorify God? How do I use this to make an impact for others and God? And so Paul had this powerful focus that it was going to be Christ. Hey, to die is gain, he says. To live on, it means fruit. So if you don't die, I mean, if you're done, I mean, if God's done with you, you would die. You're done. You're with the Lord, praise God. But if you're still here, and young people, they make all sizes of coffins. I didn't know if you realize that. While you're here, while we're here, does it mean fruit in others' lives? Spread the fruit. See, do things in others' lives that's going to be a fragrance to them. Let God use you. Paul was purpose. He was just so focused on the purpose. Then he goes to the position and he shifts it to you. Those are all, you know, me, die, it's okay, live for Christ. It was all focused on me. See, it began with you and me and then us and then me and now you. And so he ends it with a you direction, okay, the position. What is their position? I'm going to go back to 23. I just wanted to read it. I wanted to read the whole passage. 23, I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's much better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. I'm going to come and I'm going to minister you and you're going to rejoice and you're going to praise God. Verse 27, only, now this is their position in Christ, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Oh, that we could get a hold of that with all our hearts and keep reaching out farther and farther to those around us. And with one heart and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see, the gospel gives to us a clear, wonderful awareness, truth, joy of believing that there's not only purpose in life, but I know the end story. I know the end of the chapter. The end chapter, Tim dies, goes to heaven. That's the end. And see, do you realize what that can do in our life if we just really have a hold of that and saying, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to do whatever. I want to make the right choice. I want to do this. Okay, but I want to live in that direction. See, that direction, that's the focus. I want to live in that direction, that focus. And so he's just, you know, side by side. Now, we don't have to be frightened in anything by your opponents. Now remember, the opponents when Paul was in Philippi were pretty rough. In fact, they beat him and threw him in jail. Okay, now they will cane people in Singapore if they are caught with drugs, if they do confetti. Not confetti. What is it? Graffiti. Poof! The graffiti is flying. No. They caught a guy doing graffiti, shooting graffiti, anyway, on a car, and he was taken, and they caned him, like 40 smacks on the back with a, you know, rod, okay? And so they don't have people doing either graffiti or graffiti. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. That's just not coming. Okay. When we share the gospel, we don't have to be frightened because we understand the gospel. We understand the good news. And I want to, I'm not a Greek scholar, okay, and if Dr. DeWitt was here, he would really affirm that. In verse 28, it says, "And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God." I have had a real hard time understanding that verse until I just put a colon in where there's not a colon, and so I'm not really sure what this is, but it helps me with my thinking to put it together. So this is what I think. He is talking to these believers, and he's talking about the faith of the gospel, that they do not have to be frightened by their opponents. Okay, so this is a clear sign, colon. That's two dots. This is a clear sign. My gospel that I share with people, it is a clear sign. It's not a sign to them. They don't even believe it. It's a sign that they are going to die for eternity if they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But to us, it's the power of God. I think that's what Paul is saying there. This is a sign. A sign. The good news in your life is that you are not hopeless. You do not have to be hopeless. There are so many young people that are facing a hopeless future because, I mean, why not? The whole world's going crazy. But the reality, see, when we know the good news of Jesus Christ, that doesn't frighten us. See? It can frighten the world, doesn't frighten us, because we know and we have our focus in what God wants to do. See, and that's where the excitement comes. That's where God is working. And so he goes on then after that, it's your salvation and that from God. Verse 29, "For it has been grace gifted," that's the idea there, guaranteed, granted, but the word grace gifted to you, "that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." Young people, you want to serve God? Get excited and be willing to suffer. Go for it. I remember one time we organized the team to go down to Mexico here at Grace Bible College. And so we had like 20 students and we had two vans. And we're thinking, man, we're going to go down there and we're going to be persecuted. And I'm thinking, you know, rocks thrown at the van or thrown at us. I don't know. I got to have quite a vivid imagination. And so we're down there and we lose one of the vans. I mean, it's not like, wow, where did it go? But somehow we took a wrong turn and we lost them. Not only did we lose one van, which was one of Gowdy's, but we lost the van, but we didn't know where the church was. We couldn't figure out where the church was. And so I'm not driving at the moment, but I'm telling the driver how to do it. And so he says, "Fine, you drive it." I says, "No, you're driving, but get the church." And then one person very quietly in the group says, "Hey, we're going through a persecution." See, no one was throwing rocks at us, but we're not trusting God and we're allowing all this to disrupt us. Oh, we said, "Okay, you're right, let's pray." And Charlie's here, and if I miss the story, because that could be sometimes as you get older that gets really good. but it seemed that we were parked, we just stopped, and there's kind of like a roundabout with a fountain in the middle. And we began to pray, and we're asking God, we're saying, "Sorry, Lord, we just need to focus on you, and we're going to trust you to get us to the church and find the van." We said amen, and we looked past the fountain. On the other side of the fountain, there was the van. And within just a few minutes, we were at the church. Isn't that pretty close? Just say yes. Thank you, Charlie. He is such a good friend. Don't be afraid of someone rejecting you. God expects it. God's planned it. But use it to glorify him. Joe Mason he was the founder of Prison Mission Association. He said, "Wouldn't it be wild if God brought revival to America through the prison system?" Wouldn't that be wild? Okay. They're not afraid. They're in prison. They get out. They can witness. Why? They're not afraid. What are you going to do to them? Throw them in jail? Kill them? No problem. See, listen, our focus in life, and my heart is that none of us get old enough, none of us get too old to think that it's time for somebody else to do the work. Because you see, there's so much work to do, so many opportunities to witness. And I mean, there really are. When you start just doing the Lord Jesus bless you, you will be amazed at how many times you can do it. If you hold doors open for people, do different things. And you see, we all need to be involved in it. It's not just an old person. It's not just a young person. Listen, let's partner together. Let's face the persecution. Let's get our focus right, our purpose in life, and be willing to go for it and live for it and live life with all we've got. I just want to encourage you to love God with all your heart, to love His Word with everything you've got, and to love one another in a way that will impact and change their lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, You are so good to us. You are so gracious to us. Oh, Father, we know that You want to do things through our life. You've planned some activities for us, and we pray, Lord, that we would have the wisdom and the courage, the faith, to just do it for Your honor and glory. And so, Father, thank You for this opportunity to look through Your Word, to see Your Word, and allow it to impact our life. And we give You the praise in Christ's name. Amen.